coming down the straightaway, the rest of the pack a mile away. It's Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm Amelia Dalton, making tracks in this here twin turbo eejournal.com hot rod. Oh yeah. And trust me, you're glad we're in a virtual race here, because my friends, in real life, I'm really not that great of a driver. This might be a much scarier situation. All right, your next IoT project. Heck, the next IoT product you purchase. You want that bad boy to actually work, right? Either on the buying side of the line or the designing side, on a very fundamental level, you want that thing, whatever it is, to work. And further, and most importantly in the realm of wearable devices, you want it to work correctly. Wait, I climbed 4 million stairs today? Yeah, I don't think that's quite, Well, this is what we're talking about today. Biometric data sensors and how one company is making sure that our fitness is actually what we think it is. Let me introduce you to Valencell President Stephen LaBeouf. Stephen and I are going to chat about the future of the wearable market, precision biometrics, Valencell's new state-of-the-art sports testing lab, cool, and a little bit about professional cartooning. Check it out. Hi, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello.
With IoT and wearable technology becoming a bigger and bigger force in electronic engineering today, tell me how Valencell fits into this puzzle. What do you guys do?
Well, when you look at the Internet of Things, you need an Internet and you need things, but you also need a way for those things to talk to the Internet, and you also need use cases. And I think that Valencell, what we supply, is we power the things with biometrics, and then also we provide use cases, or at least stimulate use cases for how biometrics in things that you wear will change the world around you via the Internet of Things. So, for example, Valencell, what we do is we've invented and patented and licensed out a technology that lets wearable devices that you already wear, such as headphones and wristbands and armbands, measure your biometrics, what's going on inside your body, and send this to a phone or the Internet of Things, wherever that may go. And we call this technology PerformTech because it can help you with your performance and fitness as we measure all these vital parameters from your body as you're living your everyday life or exercising, whatever the case may be. So imagine now that you have, say, a headphone that has Valencell's technology in it. So it's able to measure your vital signs and also measure your activity so that you can know if you're in the right heart rate zone when you exercise and these other things. But now it's connected to the Internet of Things. So it's learned, for example, maybe what kind of sunlight exposure you had, or maybe it's learned how much you've exercised or how your body is responding to exercise. So now when you go to bed, let's say your bed is connected to the Internet of Things, maybe now your bed can accommodate you or your thermostat can accommodate you so that you can have better sleep based on what it's learned about how you've lived your day. And so these types of things are interesting ways where biometrics can be evolved in the Internet of Things. For example, say you're wearing an armband that has Valencell's technology in it while you sleep. And this armband is able to tell you what is the optimal sleep cycle for you. So now your thermostat has learned that, and it's controlled your temperatures as you sleep so that you can have a better night's sleep. Or imagine now that in the Internet of Things, you have your diet connected to a refrigerator. And so we're able to keep track of what you're eating and also keep track of how your body's responding to what you're eating via Valencell's technology. Now we're able to create a better picture, maybe help you find out what foods are making you healthier, which foods are making you sicker.
I love it. That's great. So, Stephen, with every EE design, accuracy is paramount. But I think this is especially important for today's wearable technology. Now, tell me how exactly Valencell's Sports Lab measures, tests, and evaluates biometric data.
Well, accuracy is critical in the world of wearable biometric devices because if you can't measure the person accurately, then all the fitness assessments are thrown off. So if I can't see how your heart rate changes with activity, for example, I can't tell you your cardiovascular fitness level. And as a matter of fact, I may be way off. I may actually mislead you. I may take you on a journey. I may tell you to do a certain exercise that is not good for you, or I may take you into a journey where your intensity is too high or too low, or may misjudge what a treatment or therapy should be if it's a health condition. So the accuracy is critically important. At Valence Soul, what we do is we have developed, and actually, to the best of my knowledge, we are the first company in the world to have developed a test that validates whether or not an optical or optomechanical heart rate monitor is going to work on a mass population. And so we run every single device powered by our technology through this battery of tests. And not only that, after it's passed our battery of tests, we help guide and govern independent testing at one of our partner sites, such as Duke Medical Center or North Carolina Research Center or the North Carolina Wesleyan, or any one of these partners that we have out there who are equipped to validate the technology according to our protocol. So we make certain that when the product launches to consumers, they've already been through state-of-the-art testing to where they can know that what they're getting measured, is as accurate as it could possibly be.
So, Stephen, let's talk about the future. Now, where do you think the wearable ecosystem is headed? And what's the future look like in particular for Valence Cell?
Well, I'll talk about the ecosystem first, and then I'll talk about how Valence Cell fits into it. The ecosystem, I think, is going to be divided into kind of three major categories. One of them is going to be smart wrist devices. And the reason that's going to happen is because there's so many companies, Apple, Samsung, LG, a number of companies that are focused on smart wrist devices. Another thing is going to be lifestyle monitoring devices that are maybe indiscreet. For example, people may not even know you're wearing them. It might be worn on your upper arm underneath your clothes. It might, in some cases, be integrated into certain parts of your clothing. And then a third case is headphones. And headphones are interesting because they have been around for such a long time and they're so part of how people already live their lives that they can provide not just the functionality of biometric monitoring, but they can also provide the functionality of very interesting audio experiences for people. So I think you're going to see the marketplace kind of divide in these categories. You're going to see a lot of also supplemental form factors that people just like with little niche markets, for example, at helmets and leg bands and waistbands and a number of other things. But I think the big form factors you're going to see take an interesting life of their own are wrists, also things that you can't see, and then also headphones. And Valence Cell will play the part of powering all these different ecosystems, if you call it that, with accurate biometrics, because there needs to be a way in all of these cases to get the metrics from the body in a way that doesn't burn the battery and that provides the accuracy needed for the assessments to be done. And once the assessments are done accurately, then those assessments can control the rest of the Internet of Things.
So what about Valence Cell in particular?
Well, Valence Cell will continue to be a strong force in the marketplace. Supplying the marketplace with our technology will continue to be a growing licensing company. We're 25 folks now. We are only going to grow. And we're going to provide folks who make devices out there, folks who make headphones, wristbands, armbands, you name it, with the technology they need to provide accurate biometrics for consumer applications. And beyond that, we'll see some of our partners. For example, we do have one partner right now who is, as we speak, taking our technology and integrating into military headsets and first responder headsets so that these people who already wear headsets on the job for communication can now, we can find out what the vital status is, either in battle or putting out fires, whatever the case might be. Also, you're going to see folks use our technology in more medical endeavors, but you're going to find that this is going to happen through at least what ostensibly appears to be consumer products, as these consumer products are powered with technology that's so accurate that you can actually help track medical conditions and also help guide people through improved health.
All right, Stephen, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I heard you're a cartoonist, so tell me more about that, and where can I check out your cartoons?
Ah, interesting, because there's two parts to this question. I started freelance cartooning when I was in ninth grade, and I sold my first cartoon when I was 14 years old to a dairy journal, actually. And it was mostly focused on, the cartoons at the time were mostly focused on animal-type cartoons. And then when I started undergrad in college, I started freelancing a comic strip called L'Absurde and another one called The Man. And I hit it off pretty well. The universities were buying into it, and I was part of the student paper. The local papers would publish the comic strips. Eventually, I ended up doing some contract work for different magazines and providing them with interesting cartoons. Then I started getting into animations, and today what I do is I do still cartoon, but I do under a, I guess you'd say, a ghostwriting name. Since, you know, now uh-huh. that I'm a professional businessman, I've got to keep some of my parts of my life separate from others, right? But I still do cartoon and can search for a few comic strips. One is called L'Absurde, as in French, and the other one's called The Man. And I don't know if you can still find them online anymore because it's been such a while since I put those strips together under my name. But if you search for Stephen LaBeouf and cartooning, I'm sure something's going to come up.
Excellent. I love it. I'm going there now. Well, Stephen, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Pleasure speaking with you.
Let's talk about front ends. Analog front ends. Now, that next design of yours may just need some analog action. And not all of us look good in tie-dye. What to do? What to do? Well, how about a little Chalk Talk booster to make your analog quest a little easier? In our most recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled 4-Channel Analog Front-End Solution, I sit down with Bill Laumeister of Maxim Integrated and talk all about Maxim's new analog front-end platform that both simplifies and improves the design of many analog front-ends. So, if you don't have a stockpile of tie-dyes, Birkenstocks, and Grateful Dead soundboard recordings, this may just be the Chalk Talk for you. You can check out this episode right now by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, by clicking the link below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, or by heading on over to the on-demand section on eejournal.com. Oh, also, check out the link on that Chalk Talk page. If you click the link below the player and fill out a little tiny, small, really, survey, you can be entered to win a Max Santa Fe EVSYS kit, courtesy of Maxim Integrated. Oh, yeah. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can join our circle on Google Plus as well. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 17th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.